On Thursday's front page, President Obama is countering Republican budget plans with what he says is a more balanced approach. He wants tax increases for the wealthy as well as spending cuts. Why Iraq is facing a political generation gap, and how the Veterans Administration showed hospitals can reduce deadly infections. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama called for long-term deficit reductions totaling $4 trillion. Times reporter Michael Shear says he coupled that with a blistering critique of the Republicans' vision for taxes, Medicare, and Medicaid.
This vision is less about reducing the deficit than it is about changing the basic social compact in America. Ronald Reagan's own budget director said there's nothing serious or courageous about this plan. There's nothing serious about a plan that claims to reduce the deficit by spending $1 trillion on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And I don't think there's anything courageous about asking for sacrifice from those who can least afford it and don't have any clout on Capitol Hill. That's not a vision of the America I know.
But as he laid down markers for the coming debate in Congress, the president conceded the government needs to cut spending and rein in the growth of entitlement programs. Still, he made clear that despite his compromise with congressional leaders in December, he would fight Republicans over ending the Bush tax cuts. Thursday's Times looks at why, in the aftermath of the financial crisis, no one has been prosecuted. It's the equivalent of determining why a dog didn't bark, but there was a telling moment during a private meeting in mid-October 2008. Timothy Geithner and Andrew Cuomo sat down face-to-face at Cuomo's office here in New York. At the time, Geithner was president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Cuomo was the state attorney general. Cuomo had been questioning banks and ratings agencies. He was also looking into bonuses at AIG. People who were briefed on the meeting say Geithner's message was, slow down. Geithner was worried that a hard-charging attorney general would work against his goal of stabilizing the financial markets. There's a generation gap in Iraq. The demographics there skew even younger than in countries like Tunisia and Libya. But young Iraqi lawmakers are running up against a political elite that's dominated by exiles who followed the American tanks in back in 2003. That leaves some young Iraqis disenchanted with their political leaders and with how democracy has played out there. This comes as Iraq's unity government is showing signs of splintering over the American-backed power-sharing agreement. Baseball's career home run leader was found guilty on one count of obstruction of justice. A federal jury in California failed to reach a verdict on whether Barry Bonds lied when he said he never knowingly used steroids. That amounts to an extremely limited victory for prosecutors. They've spent years trying to establish that Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs and then lied about it before a grand jury. Times reporter Kevin Sachs says a four-year effort to reduce the spread of deadly infections at veterans hospitals seems to be paying off. A study of 153 hospitals nationwide found a 62% drop in one kind of drug-resistant infection. The VA has been trying a number of things, including checking all patients with nasal swabs. The ones who test positive for the drug-resistant bacteria are then isolated. That means doctors and nurses who treat them have to wear gloves and gowns. The findings are likely to undercut an idea that had been widespread among hospitals, which is infections are an unavoidable cost of doing business. A distraught woman in Newburgh, New York, drove her minivan into the Hudson River. Her four children were inside. One managed to lower a window and get out. 10-year-old LaShawn Armstrong swam to safety. He was the only survivor. Inside Thursday's Times, Egyptian prosecutors ordered ousted President Hosni Mubarak detained. Mubarak and his two sons will be questioned about corruption and abuse of power. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick tells us what the decision means.
Certainly the military is acceding to the demands of the protesters that the military or someone should move against former President Mubarak. It's also possible that the military is trying to scapegoat Mubarak. Most Egyptians who speak publicly say they're only eager for President Mubarak to face trial and justice. The Army's role remains somewhat inscrutable. I think most people are still certainly hopeful that the Army will guide a transition to democracy. Some people are not as confident of that as they once were because of the force and even torture that the Army has applied towards protesters in Tahrir Square over the last month.
Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick. Syria's protest movement is growing. There have been demonstrations at a university and a march by women demanding the release of detainees. The university demonstrations were in the northern city of Aleppo, long a pocket of resistance. The student union, which is run by Syria's ruling Ba'ath Party, reportedly confronted the protesters. Doctors in Japan say they're seeing patients who are experiencing phantom quakes. That's the most obvious symptom of what's known as earthquake sickness. Other symptoms include dizziness and anxiety. There have been a lot of real aftershocks. This week alone, there were two on Wednesday, three on Tuesday, and a large one on Monday. Standoff in Sacramento, California Governor Jerry Brown is standing by a campaign pledge to take any tax increase to the voters for approval. At issue is a plan to extend taxes that are about to expire. Brown needs to pick up two Republican votes in the state Senate and two in the Assembly to reach the two-thirds threshold. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.